studying today, and I will draw your attention to, if you don't have your Bible with you today, we have some new pew Bibles that will be underneath the chairs out there. And a couple of things. First off, we're going to be, you know, I can say this now, this is going to be in page 895 of your pew Bibles, so that's kind of nice. Can kind of guide you in like a traffic controller. And I will say this, one other thing too, is when we got these, this week, as they arrived, we noticed that we got the standard, you know, according to the website that we ordered them from, we got the standard ESV pew Bibles. And so we got the standard ones because, you know, figured that's the best way to standard. You know, that sounds good. And we noticed that the print is pretty small in there. So what we're going to do is, we had just a quick powwow this morning. We're going to get a few, you know, like a handful of large print ones. And we're going to just stack those maybe on the back table as soon as we get them. So if you're the kind of person that might want a little bit more print, I know I'm certainly getting to that age where I have to do the trombone thing. We'll have a few of those back there. So if you want one and you have a place where you normally sit, feel free to grab one when they come in and stick it by where you usually are, okay? So we're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 today, continuing our talk through 1 Corinthians. And I suppose as we get started here, I'm just going to go ahead and read the passage for today. We're going to be reading 1 Corinthians 1, verses 26 through the end of the chapter, verse 31. And Paul in his letter says there, "For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many of you were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. And because of him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that, as it is written, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord." Let's pray before we dive in this morning. Jesus, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you that you are the word, that before the foundation of the earth was laid, you were the word. Lord, we thank you that you became flesh and dwelt among us, that we might experience and know the Word, you as the Word. And Lord, we thank you for your work, your redemptive work that showed us what it means to pour out, what it means to lay down, what it means to be humble before God and man, and what it means to have life. We thank you, Lord, and we ask that you would prepare the soil of our hearts this morning to receive you in a powerful and a fresh way, that you would plant seeds in our hearts that would grow and fruit, bring fruit for your kingdom. I do ask, Lord, that you'd smooth my wrinkles this morning and that you would just show yourself to each of us this morning in a special way. In your name, Jesus, amen. So this morning, I couldn't help but notice Nick up here on the bass. And I told him this morning before during practice, I said, "Nick, just rip on that bass this morning, you know." He did a pretty good job, don't you think? I think he did great. But that's not why I wanted to point that out. So this morning, as I'm standing over here during worship time and I see Nick standing with that Ibanez 5-string bass, I just was taken back to Nick's laughing because it's funny. Taken back to the old days when Nick and I, and it was Nick Davis at the time, I think, who's passed away now. Every night, or at least in my memory, every night, we would go down to the Union Mills Gymnasium, and I'd have my guitar, you know, and Nick would be on the bass, and the other Nick would be on the drums, and we'd do our rock band thing every night, and then after practice every night, we would go to Pella, and we'd drink coffee and tear around and be stupid. And then our good buddy Joel DeBoof got involved later on and everything. But I just saw Nick standing up here with the bass, and I had flashbacks. By the way, a couple weeks ago, Nick, you don't know about this, a home video surfaced of one of those practices. So that's out there. It's there. I mean, I don't know what to say. It's not going away. But the reason I thought about that is this morning we're going to talk about just what it says in that passage. Think about, well, he starts off, consider your calling. Consider what you were when you were called to the Lord. And I think about, I wanted to just take some time this morning. As we sit here today, we have a beautiful, mostly beautiful, spectrum of people here, don't we? I say beautiful because not all of us are good looking. I'm saying I'm not. You guys are better looking than me. But we're a beautiful spectrum of people, and each one of us has those stories, you know, our lives that we've lived. We didn't just plop here, you know, fresh, brand new. This isn't day one for us. We've all got this history that would fill books, you know, things that we were from our very birth and our growing up and our lives. We all have a story. Who are we, you know? Somebody asked, who are you? I really want to know who you are. You could start at the beginning and you could tell the whole story. What a story, huh? We've got, you know, I mean, I can't name them all, but we've got teachers, clerks, bankers, first responders. We've got fathers, mothers, sons, daughters, fill in the blank, artists. Some titles in here, maybe even we might consider them more glamorous. You know, we've got landowners. Like, if you think about history, that's a pretty huge thing. Landowners. We've got council or board members. We've got executives, business owners in this room. You know, got some stories to tell. We carry lots of titles. But some of the titles that we carry also, if we're honest, Tony talked about this morning about pouring it out and laying it down. Well, we have to do that sometimes because in this room also we have other titles. Titles that maybe we don't like to flag around so glamorously, right? Titles like sinner, thief, addict, adulterer, liar. We got a big spectrum of people here, right? With stories. And I don't want you to get too down today, just because I've mentioned, you know, some of the titles that we all carry that we're not proud of, because we all have them. Romans 3:23, that famous passage in Romans that we use during, you know, they teach you Romans 3:23 at Bible college as part of the Roman road, you know, to convert somebody, to share the gospel with them. The famous verse that they teach us, you know, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Everybody's familiar with that verse, right? It's the truth. This beautiful spectrum of people, even in the church, even those who have given their lives to Jesus and worship Him as such, today, this morning, we all have sinned and we all fall short of the glory of God. It's a truth. Whatever awesome titles and accolades and accomplishments we've been able to achieve over our lives or not, that doesn't really matter. Whatever we think people think of us, when we get in front of God, when we get in front of His truth, we're brought low because of that reality. He is holy and He is perfect and pure, and flat out we are not. We're human. But today, I want to encourage every single one of you. We should take great encouragement from this passage of 1 Corinthians that we're going to study, and even we should take a lot of courage and encouragement from the rest of that sentence in Romans, because verse 23 ends with a comma. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God," comma. But verse 24 and 25 pick it back up and say, "I'll fall short of the glory of God, comma, and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. And I'll go on. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he had passed over former sins. It was to show his righteousness at the present time so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. So yeah, all have sinned and fall short. That's why God gave his son as a sacrifice, that he might call us in anyway. Call us in anyway because of Jesus. See, that's the encouragement that we can take, right? We carry lots of stuff. Consider who you were. Consider your calling. Paul says, not many of you were wise according to earthly standards. Not many of you were powerful. Not many of you were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. Get that? That means he can use what was not so great in your life to make something great. Let's look back a minute in the passage that we covered last week. From verse 19 of 1 Corinthians 1. It says, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Now, if you go back, that's a quote. Obviously, you can see that in your Bible there, it's kind of indented and pushed in to show that he's quoting something else. Now, if you go back to Isaiah, if you want to, you can turn your Bible back to Isaiah chapter 29. We're going to do a little flipping around here. They call that the Baptist breeze. You ever heard of that phrase? When you hear all the pages of all the Bibles flipping, they call it the Baptist breeze. I think it's hilarious, but whatever. Isaiah 29, verse 14 says, therefore, behold, I will again do wonderful things with this people, with wonder upon wonder, and the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the discernment of their discerning men shall be hidden. If you go to Job, flip up to Job. Job 5. And the discourse there. Job 5, chapter 12 says, he frustrates the devices of the crafty so that their hands achieve no success. He catches the wise in their own craftiness, and the schemes of the wily are brought to a quick end. They meet with darkness in the daytime and grope at noonday as in the night. Again, we're seeing a pattern here. Flip now to Jeremiah 8, Baptist breeze. Cue Baptist breeze. Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 9 says, the wise shall be put to shame. They shall be dismayed and taken. Behold, they have rejected the word of the Lord. So what wisdom is in them? And again in Matthew, this will be the last one. Matthew 11. We're just hopping around here, all these passages declaring that God will confound the wise and all the systems of the people that think they're so smart. Matthew chapter 11, verse 25. This is Jesus' words here. It says, at that time Jesus declared, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. All of these passages are clues. Clues that support a verdict that is good news for you and me. Very good news indeed. That God's method, God's wisdom and mystery of salvation is to take the worst of our stories to magnify the name of his son Jesus. Do you know that? God's ways, His methods are not the world's ways. Remember, we talked about last week the idea that the things that we have done, the guilt that we carry. We talked about Paul's guilt from persecuting the church and literally being a party to killing believers, Christians, at least one. That guilt, the things that we are ashamed of in our lives, the enemy of our souls would take that guilt and it would take that bad feeling of our missing the mark or our sin. And he would tell us that disqualifies us from working the kingdom. Well, how dare you talk to anyone about God or what is good or what's bad or what's holy or unholy? Look at your life, right? The enemy of our souls would take our guilt and attempt to completely disqualify us from any kind of ministry or building up of the kingdom. God's ways are not the world's ways. The truth is that our guilt, the things, the misdeeds that we carry, can actually be turned into a testimony of God's love, of His power, of His mercy, and of His grace. Now our passage for today kind of spells it out for us. Think about your calling. I want you to do that today. Think about who you were or what you were when God got a hold of your life. Now that answer is going to be as varied as our stories are themselves, right? Because for some of us, we can't remember a time in our lives when God wasn't a part of it. Maybe we were raised by Christian parents in a Christian home. We went to church. We had the Sunday school lessons the whole time. We always knew about God. And we were never like that bad. And you know, sometime in our youth, we were kind of, the gospel was explained to us, and we gave our hearts to Jesus, you know? And we've tried to do our best from then on. That's not to say that we haven't had our troubles, right? For some, maybe that's not the case, and I can only just pick a few story examples here, but maybe that's not the case for you. Maybe for some, you weren't born into a Christian home. Maybe some of you had no even idea about God until much later in your life. And then somebody, or you went to a thing, or somebody talked to you, and you were confronted with God, that He loved you, that He wanted you. And you looked and you saw that you were guilty. And you didn't want to feel guilty. And you gave those sins to Jesus. You gave that life to Jesus and became His. All the way at the other end, maybe there's some here who have never given their lives to Jesus. But think about who you are, who you were when you first came into contact with God, when you first became aware of Him. In your situation, were you a powerful one? Were you of noble birth? Or were you foolish? I'm just reading the list here from Paul, right? Or were you foolish? Were you weak? Were you low? Were you despised? It even says there, I was just reading through the list there, but it says even the things that are not. Maybe you were nothing at all. Or felt like nothing at all. But if so, if you were low or weak or sinful or lowly or nothing at all when you first encountered God, then glory! Yeah! Not that our past lives apart from God are glorious in and of themselves. No. But that He can take that and He can flip it on its head. In His infinite wisdom and love and mystery, He would even use your past undoneness to create a testimony of His powerful, redemptive love for you. Now, we got to change our thinking about that, don't we? I think we do. I think we absolutely have to change our thinking, and not just our thinking, but our acting about how we think about that, if that makes any sense to you. His purpose, his stated purpose, and his MO, the way he does things, is to use those things in life, even in our lives, which are foolish and low and unwise and weak and are nothing, to build his kingdom. That's why it's so mysterious. And that's why all of the high and mighty ones rejected it. Because he would use what was low and humble to build what is great. Let's think about what it boils down to for us for just a minute. I'm going to use a term. Church people. What is that word conjure in your mind when I say church people? Anybody? Anybody brave enough to give me a, what's church people mean? Be honest, we're family here. What do you see when I say church people? Huh? Judgment? Okay. Good. What else? Anybody? Huh? Believers, yeah?
All of us here.
It can mean a lot of things, right? Depending on who you hear it from. Church people, those people. I don't think I'm probably going to be the first one to break it to you. But there are some in our world who view church people as having a sort of reputation. Let's just be honest with this. Having a sort of a reputation of being folks that work awfully hard to keep up appearances, but are really mostly normal. And so when they put on their church self, you know, then they're seen as hypocritical by those who judge them, and, you know, we can go into that whole thing. Who's the bigger hypocrite? But whatever. We live in small town Iowa. And there are some, and I'm not saying they're right, but there's some who view church people as having a reputation of people who want to work hard to keep up appearances. And who don't want to be put to shame, obviously. So we as church people, because we are church people, we're of the church, we don't want to be put to shame. We don't want to be seen as hypocrites. So we do. We work hard sometimes to cover up our struggles. Cover them up. We want to be seen by each other and by the community around us. We want to be seen as valuable and as put together and clean. Now, I think you understand the nuances in all that, don't you? How it's not bad to let your light shine before men. The Bible tells us to, right? We are ambassadors of Christ. The Bible says to, let your light shine before men. They might see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. That's okay. But we want to make sure that we're shining the light of Jesus and not just the light of how good and put together and we are, right? Of our pride. Yeah, the nuance there. What can happen is, that we can take our salvation or our relationship with God, however you want to put it, and we can kind of use that as a coat that we put on and not really become changed by it. We can have faith. We can, you know, get our fire insurance, you know, by asking Jesus in our heart, but not really let that penetrate into our will, our desires. And we've for years called that floating in the grace pool. Okay, you might picture it, you know. You got your floaties on, you know, the floaties. You know what I'm talking about. Water wings, you know, those little inflatable things going. And just float in the grace pool and wait, right? Float in the pool of God's grace and just wait for death or his return or whatever's going to come. And that's pretty much the end of it. Is that the kind of people that God wants us to be? I don't think so. No. In fact, I will tell you, it's not the kind of people that God wants us to be. Now, God uses this MO, this thing of using what is low to bring down what's high, of using what is not to take down the things that are, of using what's foolish to shame the wise. He uses this MO. Why? In verse 29, it tells us why. So that no human being might boast in the presence of God. And the literal interpretation is that no flesh can boast before God. We should take note of that. We should take note of that. Because being a church person, going to church, calling yourself a Christian, maybe even have a fish on your car. If you're a really good Christian, you know. Gives us no standing. Gives us no standing. The word for boast, I think it's important to break it down. So it's in the Greek, in the original language, the word for boast is kauchomai. Okay, it's actually two words that are put together. The first word is aucheo, and the second word is iuchomai. Okay, get it? Aucheo, iuchomai. Anyway, the first word means to boast. We all know what it means to boast, right? Just sort of like proudly exalt yourself. And the other word that is paired with that is that iuchomai is, that word means to ask or to will, okay? So it's like your desire. What it's saying is that no one, God uses what is low to bring down what is high, that no flesh will be able to have the desire to be proud before God. Adds a little bit of depth to it. Sure, nobody's gonna march up to God, right? How big a fool would you be, right? To march right into the throne room of God and boast. Nobody would do that. But we might have the desire to want to be proud before God, wouldn't we? But we can't, because God has used what is low to bring down what is high. So if we set ourselves up as being high and haughty, what's going to happen to us? We're going to be brought down. We're going to be brought down. It's important to remember that, to consider our calling, to remember who we were before God, and to be honest with where we are now with God. So I want to just conclude with three things. What do we do with all this? What do we do with this, church? This idea. You ever have that where you take a drink and it splashes back up out of the thing? Bad timing. Consider our calling to be like Jesus. To make ourselves low and lift his name high. Like Tony was saying, that pouring out. That laying down. So one. Number one, we as Christians need to own what it is that we have been saved from. Own it. Don't hide it. Own it. If God has done a work in your life and has saved you from being a miserable, self-centered, sinful, terrible being, and he has saved you and shown you a better way and redeemed your life, that is awesome. That is really awesome. And we shouldn't, as a church, I believe, fight tooth and nail to cover up what it is that he has saved us from. We really shouldn't. Why? Because God might just want to use your experiences, might just want to use that bondage that you were in, might just want to use the terrible, even your sin, to the knowledge of that to deepen your relationship with him, for one, but also to reach out to others who might be in that very same trouble now. Because I promise you, there are others, whatever you've been saved from, there are others right now that you probably know that are wrapped up in that same stuff. And who would be better to reach out to that person than somebody who's been delivered by God from that. It's okay. All have sinned. We all have gross stuff. Every single last one of us. Own up to what you have been saved from. Two, own up to what you are being saved from currently. Because I don't know about you, but consider when you were called. Consider when maybe you became a Christian. Did, after you gave your life to Jesus, did everything just, you were just like Jesus then after that? You're laughing. Why are you laughing? Because we know that it doesn't work that way, right? We do give our lives to Jesus, and then it is a day-by-day pursuit, right? A day-by-day laying down, a day-by-day pouring out, trying to weed out that sinful, and I don't like to use that word because we get it all mixed up, but that self-centeredness that we're all born with, day-by-day handing over our will to God, to Christ. And sometimes, is that a struggle? Oh, yeah. Sometimes it's a real struggle. And if you're struggling, that's good. That's okay. We should be struggling, striving. But you don't have to struggle forever, and you don't have to struggle alone. No matter where you find yourself today, God is still alive. God is still on the move. He's still at work. And there are even others with the same struggles as you. Remember, God chooses what is weak to shame the strong. It's not his MO to use the strong to shame the weak. So if you're struggling and somebody tries to make you like lay on guilt to you, now they might be doing it in love, you know, like, dude, what are you doing? They might be confronting you because they love you. But if we're honest with one another, with our brothers, with our sisters, about, man, I'm struggling with this, what should we do? Help each other. I would hate it if, well, yeah. I would hate to not know, right? That my brother was hurting, that my sister was hurting. When I could have helped, I could have just even listened. We should talk to one another. Own up to what we've been saved from and own up to what we are being currently saved from. But the last one is that imperative. We must continue to grow. We don't want to be caught floating in the grace pool, church. We may have been nothing. We may have been weak. We may have been low or despised, and maybe we still feel that way from time to time, right? But now, for those who are in Christ, or those who have given their life to Jesus, now you have a family. You have a calling. You have an inheritance. You have a name, a noble name, son or daughter of a king. And we must continue to pursue God and his righteousness. Remember, God loves you just the way you are. It's true. But he loves you too much to let you stay that way. That's true. So let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. Not in how awesome he is, but how awesome the work is that Christ has done in him. Let the one who boasts boast in the Lord, who he is, what he has done, what he is doing, what he is becoming, and what he is causing you to become in him. Now, I don't know where every single one of us lands on that spectrum, you know? We could have the full spectrum. It's beautiful. But wherever you find yourself on that spectrum, whether it's you've been a Christian your whole entire life and you've felt like you've done everything about like, you know, you're supposed to do, guess what? There's more. Maybe that's gotten cold. You feel kind of stale. And you're like, wait a second, Joe, I think I'm floating in the grace pool. Pursue God. Take the time. Ask Him. Do the work. Your life will be better for it. He will be more in you for it. Maybe you're all the way on the other end and you say, I can identify with the nothing part. I don't know. I've never really given my life to Jesus. Maybe it's time to do it. But wherever you find yourself on that spectrum, lay it out before God today. As we sing this last song, we're going to have the team come on up. As we sing this last song today, lay your life out. Where am I at, Lord? What is it that you want to do in me? Do you want to use what you've saved me from? How can I help build your kingdom? What do you want to build in me? Lord Jesus, we ask this morning that you would talk to us. Lord, not many of us were noble or great by birth, but you have called us into your nobility, into your kingdom, into your life. Lord, we no longer have to be defined by our incompleteness, but we can be defined by your completeness. We no longer have to be defined by our failure, but we can be defined by your success. So, Lord, we ask that you'd speak to our hearts today. We ask that you'd show us where we can strive, where we can give of ourselves, continue to pour out and lay down, that you might be lifted up in our lives and in our families and in our church and in our community, that you might get glory and that you might be glorified in us. In your name, Jesus.